Yeah, right. So now back to me. This whole thing about vibrational frequency fits into what I was going to bring up, James. I have a little lesson to teach this morning. Are you ready?
Good. Yeah, I'm ready.
Afternoon. You ready? Okay. When you look at a book, and when you do that, James, imagine how it is to look at a book, to read a book. Imagine millions of people doing this. So when you look at a book, you've got a frame around the edge of the book, and you've got the words on the page. Well, actually, your mind, your perceptual memory system starts to make the words you read and the stories you imaginate from those words, they become the content of that framed situation of the outer part of the book, okay? This frame around the book, which is in your peripheral vision, so to speak, if you're even aware of it, you gradually get the idea that there's something inside of it, as if the book was a stage and characters were strutting around on it, be they words or the thoughts and emotions and images evoked by the words. It is that effect of the printed book that makes people think there is a space that contains content. Okay? This whole point of content.
A space that contains content.
Yeah, like a box with... Let's think of the Ark of the Covenant, the physical box, but take the perception of a frame.
Did Bill Gates rip that off? Did Bill Gates rip that concept off, calling it Windows?
Yeah, that's not bad. I'll come back to that. Okay. So you have this idea of the frame and a area that has an action going on inside of it. Now think of the person who's never looked at a book, and he looks out, looks through, looks at and hears and sound and touches all the sensory input. They don't think that the world they're looking at is contained in anything. They're not doing that perceptual act of having a frame caused by the book form itself and then action inside of it.
So there's no frame in nature.
There's no frame projected on nature. They don't even see nature, capital N nature. They're just involved with the water of the sensory input. All right? So there's no frame. Now, because of that frame, that is what gave the space that Newton, Sir Isaac Newton, could fit his gravity factor in and his optics. His
the laws that Ion just said don't exist.
Right.
Okay.
It's important to know how this is an effect over a society that uses the printed book, why they would start to agree on that perception, because they're all reading the book.
On the misperception.
No, it's an actual perception the book makes, but they don't realize the implications of it in the thoughts that are given rise to the beginning of thinking of things happening inside a container. So gravity happens inside nature. The way Newton, Sir Isaac Newton, showed the optics, the way the light moved, went into your eye and reflected back out. This whole reflection aspect is the idea of light reflecting off the page. There's a page that something bounces off and is contained in. There's no perception like that in societies that don't have books, all right? So you start to see that Newton influenced art and subsequent science for centuries until electricity started happening. And electricity is, to jump ahead, is light through. But let's do it this way. Today, James, if you're looking at television, a lot of people don't maybe watch TV anymore as they did in the 90s. They're just on their computer. But if you remember the phase, James, where you would channel hop, okay, you'd be watching something, you'd click something, and be another scene, correct?
Right.
Yeah, when you can shift the book page, known as a TV screen, instantly, and you're in another environment, which is not framed by the book, you might think it's framed by the TV set or the TV frame itself. But no, after years, when a population is zapping an image and it's not reflecting off a book page, but going straight into their eyes and straight into their guts, and themselves inside are floating in this X-ray. These are a few words to get at the point that there's no more vanishing point. When you're looking at the book, you get a sense of a contained and three-dimensional reality, a box you're in that you're, the characters are inside of, and it has a perspective or horizon. There's no horizon when you start hopping from image to image with your channel hopper. You see what I mean? Now, you
yes.
will project an after image, a memory from your cultural conditioning of literacy that there is a frame you're doing this. But over, after years, when you shift, plop, 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 and dump, dipping into each image that you do rapidly with your channel hopper, you would start to think that all those images that you experience are stacked up against each other, are right behind each other. So when you flip from one scene to the next, it doesn't mean you've turned the page. After a while, it means you've just slipped away into another world. And then you slip into another world every time you change. So the idea is that Ion proposes that there's no time, that there are parallel worlds, is natural to the perceptual impressions of a population that is no longer looking at a framed book, and that is the only medium they were using, the framed book. When it slips to the channel hopping, can you see that the perceptual thing would be that the stars are no longer out there at the end of the horizon of the sky? They're in your head. The stars are in your eyes, and even maybe behind your eyes. And so the questions of how, what, when, where, especially the when and the where, the positioning of yourself in relation to the book page or the content of the book page, those 6 degrees of separation come out of the effect of the printed book. And Ion is correct to say, do not think of those terms anymore, because you do not live them perceptually when the population is channel hopping with television. You have to, when you really think about how you flip, you press your thing, you're here, you're watching this, then you're watching someone else, then you're watching something
right.
else. And those are the whole
right.
environments you see. You're slipping from world to world.
Yeah. Yes.
So Ion is taking the tradition of channeling and Edgar Cayce and entities, not that Ion is doing it, and Ion's correct to say that it is something different, but that many people think that Ion is something channeled through JW or a spirit or something. The concept that Edgar Cayce came up with, even the evergreens, but the evergreens were pretty good, but those concepts are updated by the beginning premises Ion started with. You create with your word. You have access to parallel worlds all the time. There's no time. That's actually what everybody's doing over the last 15 years with their entertainment complex.
Anyway.
Mm-hmm. That's right.
And we say it, and everybody goes, oh, my goodness, this is amazing. You mean to tell me that if I say a word, it shows up in my reality? And we go, yep. You mean to tell me that it's that easy, that I have all this power already, that I don't have to do anything, I don't have to ask anybody, I don't have to vindicate, validate, or vicissitate this thing that I already have? And we go, yep. You mean to tell me that this is how this has always been? Yep. And they go, wow, this is bliss.
This is bliss.
So we'd say thank you for letting us help you remember
what they already were doing. Technically.
We're doing already, technically.
Good. Yeah.
So that's why we make it, they'll ask the big nebulous question, well, I want this and I want this, and is that okay? Well, it's up to you. What do you mean it's up to me? Well, it's up to you. You're the creator. Because if you leave it up to us, we may say, hell no, you're doomed.
Okay.
And therefore, you would be. You
right.
know, if you bought that. But if you didn't, then all of a sudden you could come into this same position. Now, that's not to say that you still don't have to navigate this position that you're creating, which you certainly do, and you will. That's the contrast that comes time and time again while you are indeed deciding what the, wait for it, what the fastest path to your joy actually even is.
I love it.
Nip.
Excuse me.
Irregardless.
Yeah, James is getting it. Irregardless. Interesting. Pussy.
Irregardless.
You know I don't say that anymore now.
Yeah, that's right. You don't say that.
Vagina.
Yeah.
Ever since the winds began to howl, James has cooled it.
But we also got Sexy Bob back. We're thankful to have Sexy Bob back this week, who actually can operate the computer on the show. He's actually with confidence conveying the information, which is rare.
Yes, this is rare. So this change of perception collectively for people who once read books now is traveling through electronic media, that is becoming aware of the structure of, quote, reality, whatever Ion's referring to, that is there anyways, regardless of television. Television is people getting shifted in this perceptual difference by default. Okay. By default.
Call it a rim of capacity.
A rim of capacity. A new phrase, James, right here on March 9th. A rim of capacity.
A rim of capacity. Because it would be like we could have the same conversation, what you say 20 years ago, and say that you can have a Wi-Fi little looky box that has access to everything in the world instantly. And you'd have that'd be a pretty hard sale, Bob.
Yeah, yeah.
That'd be a pretty hard sale. You mean that records aren't vinyl?
Right.
You mean that Beta isn't going to do well? That's the tapes. And see, but now you look at it and go, well, of course, that's been done forever. Matter of fact, you can't even hardly buy a VCR anymore, let alone a Beta player.
That's right.